Chapter 2 tonight. I was tempted to just change my message and say Isaiah 6, but I said, no, I'll just stick with my message. I hope that wasn't the Spirit saying, okay, Joe, you need to change your message. And at least John didn't steal my message. That has happened up here before. Not by John, but by someone I won't mention his name. Oh, can I get something on here? How does this work? Okay. Well, this is my last chance to say something to hope be a blessing to you. Again, thank you for everything. Most of all, thank you for all the years. It's 42 years. It doesn't even seem possible that it's been 42 years. And it doesn't seem possible that I even had the opportunity to be involved in something like this. It's all because this church is just such a special place. If you've been in any other place besides this church, you know it has some special qualities that you really won't find in most places. It's pretty unique. I often think back to 42 years ago or even 43 years ago or so when I showed up here as a young man. And just so you know, I was 18 years old when Brother Lindell and Brent decided that I was at least qualified to a certain extent to be sent out. And some people think I was 8 when I say I've been there 42 years. When did you go? When you were 8? Well, anyway, I was only 18 and I was definitely very, very young and had a lot to learn, but I learned a lot from the people I was with. I was with some great men, great missionaries, and I'm thankful for that. I think about Gideon. Gideon, and when God called Gideon, he said, who am I? My family is poor, and that's kind of like me. I never considered myself being from a poor family, but considered how the world considers, you know, riches. We were not rich. I have a lot of siblings, as most of you may know, and if any of us went to college, it's because we paid our way, and I didn't pay my way, so I didn't go to college. So my family was not rich, and like Gideon, I am the least in my family. I am the youngest, and so I was a nobody, and I am still a nobody, but I'm thankful for the opportunity. When I was in eighth grade, this is a story that I probably have not told many people, if anybody at all. I was in eighth grade, my last full year of public school. After that, I was on the mission field with my parents. Last year of public school, and they had the eighth grade school dance. And of course, being just a kid, I thought maybe I could go. My parents said, no way, you're not going to no dance. And my dad put his foot down, okay, I'm not going to school dance, whatever, I don't care. No big deal to me, I can't dance anyway, so who cares? Anyway, when I came to school after that weekend, Monday morning, I found out that I had been voted at the school dance the most likely to make a G-rated movie about teenagers. I'm not sure today what that was supposed to mean, but I was not voted the most lucky to become a CEO or become some great, you know, inventor or some great who knows what. But, you know, who cares? Who cares? What's important is that God saved my soul.
Amen.
And put me in a place where I could actually do something for Him. And put me around some people who were willing to take a chance. And for 42 years, you all have stood by us all the way. I'm thankful for Debbie, who has stood by me all the way through thick and thin. I'm thankful for 3 wonderful children and 3 spouses for our children and the mess of grandkids. And it's just amazing. I'm so blessed. And some of you may have thought, what are you people doing? Taking your kids or having them born on a mission field in some foreign country where there's not good doctors, right, Lauren? Where there's, you don't know what might happen. But you know, I consider myself very, very blessed and very rich God has just been good to us. Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 18 and 19. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. First of all, I want to call your attention to who is speaking here. It's the Son of God. It's Jesus, but he's the Son of God. He's not just some Jesus, you know, Jesus. He's not Chewy, like sometimes you hear in Mexico. He's not Chewy. He's Jesus, the Son of God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the Almighty God. In fact, it says here, his eyes are like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. This is not your little, you know, friend that you can just joke around with and you know, have a beer with, like some people think. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before whom everyone will stand one day.
Amen.
That's right.
Imagine standing before someone, an almighty being whose eyes are like a flame of fire, who knows everything and can see right through you. And so if you are here today and you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your only Savior, I'm warning you, when you face Him one day without that salvation, you will regret it for eternity, because nothing will be hidden from Him. It says in the Bible, it says that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Nothing will be hidden from Him one day. Everything you've ever done, said, thought, everything you should have done and didn't do will be manifest, and there'll be no hiding. And His feet are like unto fine brass. Now, whether you think that means He's going to judge, or just He's amazingly strong, it doesn't matter, because one day when you stand before Him, you won't stand very long. It says in the Bible that every knee shall bow.
Amen.
To the name of Jesus.
Right.
At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. In other words, when you stand before God one day, if you are not, if your sins are not all forgiven when you die, and you face that judge, you won't have a leg to stand on. You'll be on your knees, and then you'll be in hell forever. That's who's speaking here. He's the Son of God. But He's speaking here to a church. And so I want to speak to the church, because Jesus has a message for this church. It's a church in Thyatira. There are seven churches, as we, most of us may know, and every church gets a special message, and there's no doubt about it that every one of us and every single church could learn a lot of lessons from the messages to these churches.
Amen.
But this is one message to this church, and it's actually just part of the message that I want to share with you tonight. It says here, I know thy works. I know thy works. I mean, no surprise, his eyes are like a flame of fire. He knows everything. He not only sees everything, he actually takes note of everything. You know, we see things, but we don't always take note of everything. Especially my wife thinks that men are that way. We just see things, but we don't really see them. No. I can't find it. I see it, but I can't find it, right? Well, Jesus doesn't just see it. People know in their head that Jesus sees everything, but they don't realize He's taking note of everything. He is noticing it, and He's taking a record of everything. I know thy works. And in this passage, fortunately for us, for this church in Thyatira, He's actually commending them. He says, I know thy works. And He's not talking about bad things. He's saying, this is good. I know your works. And He goes on and says, and charity and service and faith and thy patience. So he's actually commending them. He's saying, that, isn't that a blessing that Jesus Christ sees everything and is able to even rejoice in what he sees. He's not like a father that cannot be pleased. Some of us, some of you may have had a father that was impossible to please. When you got all B's, you should have gotten all A's. When you got all A's and one B, you should have gotten all A's. When you got all A's, you should have gotten all A pluses. No matter what you did, it wasn't enough. When you got a job, it wasn't a good enough job. When you did something good, it wasn't good enough. Some fathers may be very hard to please, impossible to please. But God, he says here, I see your works. I know your works. And he commends his church for that. Now, this church was not a perfect church. In fact, the next verse, he says, I have somewhat against you. So it wasn't a perfect church, but they had some things that God noticed and commended. And we all know that there is no perfect church even today. But I think there are some things that can be commended, even about this church, especially about this church. Some of us have been here a long time. And we know there are problems or issues or history or whatever. But you know what? We've seen some pretty amazing things.
Amen.
And I know that we always remind ourselves, no, it's God, it's not us. But you know what he says here? I know thy works. He didn't say, well, look what I did. Right? He said, I know your works. So he's commending them. And so at the risk of maybe sounding like I'm bragging too much, I want to just call your attention to what God has done, what he has allowed us in this church to accomplish. This is the 50th mission conference. That in itself is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Just for a church to last that long is pretty amazing. I don't know the statistics, and I'm not sure it's easy to find the statistics, but if you look at the longevity of a Bible-believing church, I would say we are probably in the, you know, above average. If I had to just guess. Churches die all the time for different reasons. But the 50th conference, that means more or less 50 years ago, who was the first missionary? Were you the first one? The first missionary was sent out of this church. And many, many churches, if not most, never send a single missionary.
Yeah.
At all. They support them sometimes, but to send one of their own to the field, that's not a common thing. And yet, God gave a burden, God gave a vision, and this church sent out a missionary. And at the same time, this church stood fast to its principles and convictions. People, I'm sure, people at the, even then thought, how can we support a missionary? We're a young church, how can we do this? We must, you know, pass a plate. We need to have a cake sale. We need to have a raffle. We need to, you know, sell some CDs or whatever. No, no. This church from the beginning said, nope. We're not going to pass a plate. We're not going to teach on tithing. We're not going to have gimmicks. We're just going to put a box in the back. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to have debt. We're not going to have $1 million debt for a huge building. 45 years ago, two missionaries from this church started a church in Mexico. And again, that's not necessarily a guarantee. You know how many missionaries go to the field and spend X amount of years and never start a single church? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Maybe they didn't have that goal. Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they didn't learn the language. I don't know. But many missionaries never start a single church. I heard a missionary one time that spoke at a mission conference. He's a foreign missionary and he said, I don't know if I've ever won a soul in my life. I'm thinking, whoa, I'm not sure I would have confessed it. That in front of a church. But anyway, some missionaries never started a church, and yet two missionaries started the church. God says, I know that works.
Yes.
He sees it. He saw it. And he commends this church for it. I think he commends this church for it. We could go on and on about what this church did in the beginning through those years, and all the time this church not only stood fast with convictions, but ministries in this church, rescue mission work, street work, door to door evangelist, just this church has been an active, evangelistic, mission minded, Bible believing, Bible teaching, even training its own preachers in this church. God says, I know that works. And I think God saw that and sees that, and I think he would commend this church for that. But our text says in verse 19, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. We already heard that, didn't we? Yeah. And thy works. Again. Did he forget that he already said it once? That's how I talk sometimes. Especially in Polish. No, God didn't forget. The fact is, God is also interested in what this church is doing later. Not just in the beginning.
Yep.
I don't think it's wise for us just to only brag or glory or rejoice in what this church did 50 years ago. I think we all agree, and it's been said many times, even this week, about what this church is doing now. We can't just stop. He says, and thy works. And so, I think about the last works, because he says in the last part of that verse, and the last to be more than the first. And so God is interested in what is happening later, not just the beginning, right? Not just the first year, not just the first 5 years, but hey, what about later? And you start the race, great, but are you going to finish the race? And obviously the race is not over yet. The race is still going, right? And so God is saying, okay, I know your first works and I know the last ones. And so the question is, what does God say about our last works?
Mm-hmm.
It's yet to be seen. But I think we can see in the Bible that that's a normal thing. I mean, Brother John mentioned that today a couple of times. We have several times in the epistles where Paul says, I know your charity and your faith, but I want you to abound. More and more. It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always what?
Abounding.
He didn't say, you know, hold your own. Right? I can imagine when the second missionary said, I want to go, some people said, we already got one. Let's just keep taking care of him. We can't, if we send two, we might starve the first one, right? Hey, I think at one time there was at least maybe 7 or 10 families.
10 families.
10 families being supported out of this church. You have Elisha. Elisha is with Elijah, right? And he finds out that Elijah is going to be taken away from him. And what did Elisha say? He didn't say, I want to do just what Elijah did. You know what he said? I want a double portion. Wow. Interesting. He didn't say, I want to just keep the status quo. I want to do more. Now, I don't think we can accuse Elisha of wanting to be, you know, better and get more glory. I think he said, I got some ambition. I want to see if I can do more. And so this church has been a blessing because year after year, God would call somebody else and we're thinking, okay, maybe we can do more. Maybe we can send more missionaries. And by God's grace, 50 years later, I don't know the exact count. I personally, the ones I know of, and remember, I counted at least 42 missionaries out of this church. 42 missionaries. 18, I think, couples, and a few singles. I know thy works and thy works. What a glorious thing that has been done for the gospel's sake.
Yeah, amen.
Should we gloat? No, but we can just praise God for what he has given us the ability to do. And again, I say, he said, I know thy works. It has not been done in a miraculous way like we would think. I mean, God didn't just come in and, you know, dump a bunch of gold coins in a corner somewhere and, oh wow, look, we can support missionaries. No, people like you have sacrificed month after month after month. People have quit their jobs to go to the foreign field. People have given up careers to go to the foreign field. It's been done because people had a vision. People had a burden. People were willing to take up their cross. People were willing to sacrifice, give up their children, give up their grandchildren. It's a glorious thing. God says, I know thy works and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. That's the progression we see. Those two missionaries that started that church in Mexico, after a few years, there were more missionaries. And today, 50 years later, there is at least, there may be more I don't know about, 29 churches in Mexico. Wow. Some of them started by American missionaries, some started by Mexican missionaries. 29.
Amen.
One was amazing. I'm telling you, one church started is amazing. You don't believe me? Go try to start a church. Just one in your lifetime. Just one.
Yep.
And you ain't have to leave it. You can stay there all your life and you'll find out it's not easy. But 29 churches have been started and most of them have been left in the hands of national pastors.
Amen.
And then the missionaries went on to another city and did it again. In 1995, two missionaries said, maybe we can go somewhere else. Maybe Poland. People said, where's that? And so, in their zealous naivety, we might call it, not realizing how hard the language really, really was, they went. And a few years later, three more missionaries went to Poland. 1998, the first church was started in Poland. Using the old and archaic Polish Bible that we had to explain to them. Because they couldn't understand the old words. Today, there are four churches in Poland. And you think starting a church in Mexico is hard. Try starting one in Poland. Preaching only in Polish. No translator. Britt and I made a pact with each other. We would never preach with a translator on the street or in the church. 1997. We realized this Bible is not gonna be. We can't We just can't go on like this. And so in our zealous naivety, we decided, well, maybe we can update this old, how long can it take, you know? I think even Bill said, hey guys, maybe you should try it. It couldn't take more than 5 years, right? I thought, well, Bill's pretty optimistic. Maybe we can. Maybe he thinks I'm more gifted than he realizes. But hey, maybe we can give it a shot. And so these two nobodies, one college almost graduate and one that never even darkened the doors of a college, started this project. And you people prayed. You probably didn't know what we were doing. Some of you probably thought, these guys are crazy. They're nuts. They should be preaching the gospel. Well, trust me, we did. Amen. Every day. We did not neglect the evangelism for this project. We preached every day. We went out. That's why it took 20 years. In the year 2000, after about 3 or 4 years, we did our first printing of John and Romans. Wow! Two books! Two books! We got them done! And we printed them! 1,000 copies of John Romans. Oh, what a day that was. For those of you who didn't see the video last Sunday? To date, 506,000 full Bibles have been printed.
Amen.
506. When we did the first New Testament, and I think it was year 2009, the New Testament, we printed 3,000 copies. And they sold pretty quick. The next time we finished Psalms and Proverbs and added that and printed a New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And we had sold all those New Testaments and we had enough money to print 5,000 more New Testaments with Psalms and Proverbs. Brent says, 5,000? Who's going to buy 5,000 New Testaments? This is crazy. But they sold out. I got an email just yesterday or day before yesterday informing me that the next shipment of Bibles is on its way. The next shipment of free Bibles printed by somebody else for Poland. Our Bibles. 152,250 Bibles. In case you're wondering how many that is, how big is that container out there? Is that a 20-foot container? That container out in the back parking lot is a 20-foot container. They're sending 7 40-foot containers of Bibles.
Wow.
Prayers have availed. Whatever else happens, there are over 500,000 Bibles all over Poland. And we know the power of God's word, you know, so I don't want to just coast, but I rejoice in the fact that that many Bibles are just everywhere.
Yes, they are.
Some plant, some water, some pray, some preach, and God gives the increase.
Yes, amen.
That's the progression that God notices in this church. I know thy works and thy works and the last to be more than the first. That's exciting. But you know what? The outcome could have been completely different in Thyatira. Couldn't it? Couldn't God have said, you did run well. Couldn't God have said, I know your works, but you ran out of gas. I know your works and your works and the last ones, they're pretty pitiful. What happened? Where did you go wrong? And I say that because not only could it have happened, it happens. Doesn't it happen? There are churches all over the place that started out good. Started out what? Right. Started out well. And for X reason, they don't keep going. I was in a church recently where the pastor, I know the pastor, he's a good preacher and a faithful preacher, but he passed away. And unfortunately, he didn't have anybody, he didn't necessarily train anybody to take his place. And when he died, they called another pastor in, and he was there for X amount of years, several years. But when I went to this church just recently, there was another pastor there, and I didn't know either one of those two pastors. I only knew the first one. And the second pastor told me, well, when I showed up here, there was one member in this church. One. When I was visited that church many years ago, it had probably 60, 75 people, maybe 100. Had a nice big building, bigger than this one. One member! I'm not trying to say I know why it happened, but oh, that's sad. God couldn't say your last works were more than the first. You had to say, man, that was good, but what are you doing now? And so, the possible outcome could have been the opposite of progression. It could have been regression. And that happens for different reasons. Sometimes it's just contentment. We read over there in the Old Testament when God gave the children of Israel the promised land and took them, you know, across the Jordan River, and Joshua says, okay, here's the land, and they divided it up, you know, but there were several tribes that just didn't really get to it to claim their land. They were kind of lazy. They said, oh, we've got all this. We're across the Jordan River. We're out of Egypt, and we're just kind of, yeah, this is good enough for us. They were content. That can happen. We could just be content with what we've accomplished. 42 missionaries? That's pretty impressive. And I'm not trying to say tonight that you need to get out your calculator and say, okay, we need to do this many more, give this much more money. We need to do, no, I'm just trying to say that we should have the, in our hearts and our minds, the idea that we should not just be content with holding our own. We should be asking the Lord what you want us to do next.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to say that you who are listening to me, every one of you has to do more. You may be doing more than you possibly can. That's very possible. I would say that there are people in this church that are giving so much money that they cannot give anymore, and that's fine. God says, give what you have, not what you don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
You may be given all the time you have to go out and preach the gospel, and that's fine. But there's a second problem, and that's despisement. I didn't know that word even existed, but it exists. It's a word, despisement. It's the noun from despise. I don't even like the word despise in this context, because I like the word in Spanish, menospreciar. Or in Polish, lekceważyć. It means to lightly esteem something. It doesn't mean you hate it. It just means it's not that important to you. The dictionary says this. It says, to regard something as negligible, which means to regard something as small or unimportant, so as to warrant little or no attention. That can happen in a church.
Yeah,
oh, who cares about whether we pass a plate or have a box at the back of the church? What's the big deal? Who cares whether we use a King James Bible or some other Bible? What's the problem? It's the Bible. What does it matter if we have one pastor or two pastors or three pastors? Or a woman pastor?
Yeah.
What's the problem? No, that is the problem. There are some things that we should be taking earnest heed to, like Brother John said.
Yes.
And not let them slip.
Yes.
Some people pay the price to give us a church that functions like this one.
Yes.
Most of us don't know half of what was paid to get this. But some people did. Brother Lindell being the main one. But if we despise that, if we lightly esteem that, then the danger is that anybody can start rising up or kind of come in between and like a ravenous wolf between us saying, you know, maybe we should have a cross on the wall. Maybe we need to have a pass out a plate, you know, and have a Christmas tree. And maybe we need to have programs, and maybe we need to just do a lot of fun things and have a baseball team and have a store in the back and coffee shop at the back. Everybody pays money. There are churches in Poland that they have coffee and tea, which is fine. We do that at the end of the meeting at the church. But they charge people to buy the coffee and the tea. I'm thinking, come on, people. Seriously, how much does coffee and tea cost? And that's how they find it, you know, instead of people just giving offerings, they like to entice them with, hey, if you buy coffee and tea, it goes to the offering box, and that's convenient. So you give an offering, but you get something for it now, a cup of coffee and a cookie.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but that just rubs me wrong. You might think now that's trivial. I don't think it's trivial, because it's a slippery slope. Jude says, I'm going to try to wind this up. I am. I know it's Saturday night and everybody's tired. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Yeah.
Why would he say that? In the first century, he knew. God knew, and God said, write this down, because it can happen overnight. The church in Torun almost got destroyed almost overnight, because some people thought these principles aren't that important. They despised them. It could have been a different outcome because of enticement. It says Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. Oh, that world is enticing. Demas had no idea. We think, oh, come on, Demas. What was out there? A nicer robe? You know, a brand new chariot? A young camel or something? I mean, come on. It wasn't like he had a big, you know, large screen TV or a brand new iPhone or something. Who cares? If Demas forsook Paul because he loved the world, imagine the danger for us today.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's so much more out there.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Even Solomon fell prey to that. He loved many wives, and his wives enticed him to worship idols. And so, as much as we admire and enjoy the Proverbs of Solomon, we think the last was not more than the first in his case. It was, I'm sorry. I don't deny the wisdom God gave him, and I love reading Proverbs, and it's amazing, but I can't say, wow, Solomon, you ended on a high note. I think, oh, you could have had such a much better ending.
Yeah.
But you were enticed by the world.
Yeah.
Now I might step on some toes. Joshua 14. This passage, when it hit me, what's going on, it always hits me hard, and it kind of gives me a slight reminder. So Caleb is now 85 years old. I would dare say that most 85-year-olds are ready, if not already have done it, to retire.
Amen.
Right? And so, trust me, I'm not slamming anybody here that is 85 and not as strong as Caleb. I'm just saying, this guy is amazing. He's 85 years old, and Joshua says, what do you want? If it was you and me, we say, I want a valley with pasture, and I want a nice, smooth, sidewalk, and I want a garage door opener, and I want everything electronic and electric, and I want to have to work for anything. I want to just push buttons, and everything is done for me. We lived in Poland and for 12 years on a third floor of an apartment building with no elevator. And when we decided to go to Austin, I told Debbie, I'll do my best if God allows us, and I'll build you a one-story house. She said, I'm ready to go. No more stairs at this age. We're tired of climbing stairs with all the groceries in bags. It's just, but Caleb says, you know what I want? I want a mountain. I want a mountain. What are you talking about, a mountain? When we were looking for a piece of land in Austin, we saw a couple of real nice ones. One of them was like on the edge of a mountain. The view was amazing. And I almost said, Debbie, let's buy this. And I thought, no, no way. This is crazy. I don't want a mountain at this age. I don't want to be sliding down a mountain in the snow and the ice. I want something flat. So God gave us something flat. But Caleb, he says, I want a mountain. That's not all. Look in verse 14 and verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Not only he wanted a mountain, he wanted a mountain that was occupied by the enemy. Yep. He wanted to fight a battle. What can cause this regression of our church? Any church. Retirement. And I'm not saying you can't retire. I'm talking to you, young ones, younger than retirement age. Because some of us are looking that retirement is closer than we realize. And then what? Are you going to wait until all of us who are at this point in our lives, and we're looking at, you know, maybe 10 years, maybe God gives us strength like he gave Caleb, I don't know, but then what? Who's going to go on? Yeah. Who's going to keep it going? Yeah. Who's going to say, okay, it's time to step up to the plate?
That's right.
Amen. And you can't wait until that time, it'll be too late. You got to start now. If you don't know why we do what we do around here, find out.
Yep.
Get some classes. Talk to the pastors. Learn some things. Find out why it's so important that we do what we do. So when that time comes, it won't be a church that's has no direction.
Yep. Amen.
That is the blessing of having the plurality of pastors. You can just keep on going.
Yep.
But there has to be some pastor material. There has to be some missionary material. We're not going to live forever, and you don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know you're all thinking it's going to be in my lifetime, so we can just take it. No, we do not know. I don't know. Some of you thought it would already have happened by now, and you think, you know, I have no idea now. I'm done. I'm done giving dates. I'm done trying to figure it out. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep.
Occupy till I come.
Amen.
Progress till I come. Keep on going and keep on striving to do more. Keep on striving to... I mean,
Amen.
One missionary, was that enough? Thank God, some people said, no, one is not enough. We can send two. We can send four. We can send eight. Because someday, it won't be just retirement, it'll be enfeeblement. You'll have no more strength, Brother Lindell.
That's right.
even to come. And I don't look forward to that day. What a blessing that Brother Leno can still come.
Yes, amen.
But we have to face the facts.
Yes.
And when that day comes, what happens? Okay, let's shut the door, lock the doors, turn off the lights. No, it won't be over.
Yes.
We can still go on.
Amen.
But somebody has to keep it going.
Yeah.
Maybe you can have a part.
Yeah.
Some of you may already be doing that, already seeing that. Great, praise the Lord. I'm talking to the ones that are not that far-sighted. They're just near-sighted. Now, right now. Okay. There's still something you can do.
Amen.
The application is quite simple. I'll close with this. The application to this is threefold. It's personal. It's international and it's local. So you and I can say, when God sees my works now, after X amount of years, does He say the last is more than the first? Am I reading my Bible like I used to? And I'm not talking about amount of pages. But are you getting the same or more out of the Bible now than you were then? I hope so. It should be. Because after X amount of years, you can actually read like one chapter and get so much more than you used to get out of 10 chapters. Because you didn't have the insight. You didn't have the history. But now you can see more. Are you doing that? Is your prayer life increasing in its fervency? You're giving. You're witnessing. My brother John said, don't let them slip. But not only don't let them slip, can the last be more than the first? Will our last be more than our first?
Yeah.
That's the point. And international, what about our churches? Us missionaries. We have the obligation to make sure that these churches have the chance to make it.
Yes.
To teach them these things.
Amen.
Because the devil doesn't want them to keep on going. The devil wants to destroy them and divide them and make them into whatever. The devil can destroy those churches so quick. We need to make sure we are doing our best to make sure our churches keep on going.
Yes.
Amen.
The principles that we have. And local. Like I said, this church. Will our last be more than our first?
Yeah.
Will it still be the same foundation? It is now, after 50 years, and that's amazing.
Yes.
It really is. For this church to be where it is today after 50 years, that's incredible.
Amen.
Many, many churches today, if you go and visit them and you knew them 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you would not recognize them.
Right.
Debbie and I went to England many years ago, and we went and visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle,
yeah,
where Charles Spurgeon preached. Ah, that was a disappointment. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's unusual that it be that. It's been a long, more than 50 years, but it was a disappointment. It would have been great to see somebody in there preaching like he would have preached and the crowds like he would have had, but it didn't happen, so it's not a guarantee. But it's possible.
Amen.
Isn't it possible that our last could be more than our first? We don't have to give up. We don't have to say, well, it ain't going to happen. It's just the time, you know, how it goes. In time, everything goes bad and goes sour and rots. Nothing has to happen.
Yeah.
Imagine when Jesus comes back and says, wow, you people, I know your works. And I know the last works. And they're more than the first. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing to hear?
Amen.
I believe it could happen.
Yes.
But it's not going to happen by itself.
That's right.
It won't happen by osmosis. It won't happen because we're fighting against God. It'll happen if we are in unity.
Yes.
If we're convinced. If we're working. If we're depending upon God. If we're loving one another. And if we have a burden for the lost. And if we're not changing our principles. It's up to us,
yes,
whether our last will be more than our first.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.